Amen. God bless you, preacher. Amen. Thank you. Well, it's a joy to be back in the tabernacle tonight. And good to see everybody waving the fans. And actually, it feels better tonight to me than it did last night. Praise the Lord. I guess I'm just getting adjusted to this South Carolina weather. But I appreciate the Lord giving us a good day and a good crowd on this Monday night. This is Monday night, right? Praise the Lord. That 9 o'clock got me messed up bad last night. And Monday night meeting, and I trust the Lord will bless you for being here. And you pray for us this week that God would help us to know His will in the services each night. I have no other agenda for being here than to try to be a help to God's people. I want to be an encouragement to pastors and churches in these days. We need that, and we need strengthening. And that's my desire for being here, and I'm honored and humbled by the opportunity to come and stand here in this place, and I certainly don't feel deserving of it, but I'm thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be here. I appreciate everything that you've done for us preachers already and the nice accommodations, and thank you so much for that. And you be much in prayer for us. At the end of the week, Lord willing, I may try to get my family down, maybe by Saturday night. Of course, my family's back at home. Most of the time, they travel with me if they're able to. They all work jobs during the week, and it's hard for them to come this distance, and it might be, but I could work it out to get them to come down Saturday night, and we might sing a couple of songs for you. Most folks like our singing a whole lot better than they like my preaching, praise the Lord, but I've come to grips with that, and that's all right, amen. I appreciate the Lord and bless me with a fine family, and thank God for all the years of ministry, being able to travel up and down the roads and sing a little bit and preach a little bit, and just appreciate the Lord. Hope you're feeling good tonight. You might be like the two old fellas. I heard one about two old fellas that was in the retirement home, and they're sitting there one day, and they begin to talk about how each other felt. And one of them said, how you feel? He said, I tell you, he said, my head's are hurting, my back aches, and my bunions are hurting, and said, I'm just a mess. Said, how do you feel? He said, I feel like a newborn baby. He said, what do you mean you feel like a newborn baby? Here I am, I got the backache, my head hurts, and my bunions ache. He said, I ain't got no hair, I ain't got no teeth, and I think I just wet my pants, praise the Lord. So if you feel like a newborn baby tonight, you're in a mess, and I hope you feel better than that, praise the Lord, amen. But anyway, praise God, it's good to be here. I told that joke one night at camp meeting. I was preaching, Brother Joe Arthur and some other preachers there that night, Brother T.D. Burgess, and I literally didn't think we was going to get the meeting back under control after I told that joke. They laughed for about 15 minutes, but anyway, it's good to be able to be here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I want to give you a simple thought tonight and hope I can be a blessing to you from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and of course the Apostle Paul was speaking here to Timothy in chapter 4. You'll find chapter 3, Paul is outlining the last days. He's writing, saying this, know also that in the last days perilous times will come. And here he says in chapter number 4, starting in verse number 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray tonight as we stand in this place, Lord, that you would touch us with your spirit. God, that we might be able to bring the message that would be a help to somebody here in the tabernacle tonight. Father, you know the varying needs in this congregation tonight. Lord, you know every church tonight that's represented, every body of believers that's here tonight. And Lord, I pray that tonight would just strengthen each one that's here in this place. Lord, thank you for the blessings you've given us of this day. And Lord, I pray now you'd help us just for a few moments, God, as we look into your word, that we might be a blessing to the people of God. And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here the Bible says, of course, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's given Timothy a charge in these last days. Paul's just about finished his course, and he begins to talk to Timothy about some things in the previous chapters. I've already said in chapter 3, Paul began to outline what the conditions would be in the last days. Matter of fact, when you read that litany of things that was written there in the Word of God, you'll find that many of those things we're seeing in these days that we live in, and certainly I believe we are in the last days. But here Paul is, he's telling this young preacher, he said, listen, I'm just about ready to finish my course. I've kept the faith, he said, but I need you to know something in the last days, Timothy. He begins to give him a charge, and in verse number 2 he says, preach the word. And here's where I really want to get to for the message tonight. He said, be instant in season and out of season. Paul, in other words, he said, now Timothy, it's not going to be easy living for God in the last days. It's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be something that's just easy to do. But he said, in the last days, it's going to be difficult days. In the last days, it's going to be perilous days. He said, Timothy, there's going to be days you feel like serving God, and there's going to be days you don't feel like serving God. He said, Timothy, there's going to be days that you feel like preaching, and there's going to be days when you don't feel like preaching. He said, Timothy, but I need you to know this, you need to understand this, that the charge I'm giving you is to be instant in season and out of season. Paul is giving instruction concerning the out of season times. We all go through those times. We all go through seasons where we don't feel maybe like we ought to, and maybe things come a little harder than they normally would. But thank God, I'm glad God's given us the charge in these last days to stay faithful to him, even in these last days. I remember a few years ago, I've been pastoring where I'm at now 18 years, and a few years ago, it's probably been 10 or 12 years ago, I guess, we had decided we've got a great group of young people. God's blessed our church, and we major on the Word of God. That's what we major on in our church. A lot of people call and say, what do you offer the young people at the church? I say, we offer them preaching, praying, and praising God. Amen. But every now and then, you know, we'll do a little something special with the kids. It's been about 10 or 12 years ago, they decided they want to take them on a little outing. And they said, well, we're going, you know, you want to take kids where they enjoy doing things. And some of them said, preacher, could we go down to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee? And I said, well, I guess we could. I'd be all right. Of course, you know how teenagers are. They always want to go to them places where they got rides and stuff like that. Of course, I had to go along as a chaperone, you know, as the pastor. And we went to Dollywood. And I don't know how many of you have been to Dollywood. If you've ever been down there, they got all kinds of stuff you can do. And at that time, they had just put a new ride in Dollywood at the top of the mountain called the Tennessee Tornado. It's a roller coaster that it's got three great big old loops in it. And when you get on that thing, it'll hang you upside down in the loop as you're going through about 100 miles an hour. And the highest point in that middle loop is 300 feet off of the ground. And you're upside down when you go through that loop. I mean, some of those kids was wanting to ride that, and they got to asking me to ride it. And I said, no, I said, that's all right. Y'all go ahead and do that. And I said, I'll just be right here. I'm telling you what, here I am, a grown man, and I wasn't wanting to get on that thing, but some of them little old teenage girls got to mocking me, and they called me a coward. They said, you're a coward, preacher. I said, man, I can't let this crowd think I'm afraid to do that. So I got on that roller coaster that day. I mean, that was the worst worst mistake I ever made in my life. And I was trying to be cool, calm, and collected, and not let you can't let them see you sweat. You really can't. And that day, man, we got in there and they buckled me up in that seat, and I thought, well, this ain't too bad. All of a sudden, the train pulled out of the station, and I said, well, this ain't too bad. It's moving pretty slow. And all of a sudden, we come around the curve, and I could see that big hill that you had to climb in order to pick up the steam to go through three upside down loops. And when I saw that big hill, I began singing that old song, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. I mean, I'll tell you one thing right now. I rededicated my life to the Lord three times before I got to the top of the mountain. Amen. I mean, that thing went to climbing that mountain. All of a sudden, here we go, off the top, down through the first loop, upside down. People screaming all around me like they're dropping into hell. Second loop, upside down, 300 feet in the air. All of a sudden, third loop, and here we come back into the station, man. Everything's calmed down now. Everybody looked around and said, man, that's great. Let's do it again. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, I ain't attempting God again, amen. And I got off of that thing that day. I couldn't stand up. My head was swimming. I mean, you know, they got them lines that it says you got to be so tall to ride this stuff. They ought to put up a sign that says, you old people, stay off of this stuff. And that day I was staggering around like a drunk man. I couldn't hardly stand up, and they had a bench there beside the place. I know why they had that there, for people just like me after they got off of it. And I sat down there, and they said, you want to ride it again, preacher? I said, no, y'all go on back and ride it again. So they went back, and I was sitting there trying to get my wits to myself. And as I did, I noticed they had a board right next to that bench. They had put some inspirational quotes on it and some motivational sayings. And I begin reading those on that board that day. I get messages in the strangest places. I'm talking about in Dollywood on a bench. God got to speak into my heart. I was reading this, and this is what the quote said on the board. It simply said this: if the wind ain't blowing, row. And I read that again, and I understood the implication of that. Said, if the wind ain't blowing, row. In other words, they said, you've seen the beautiful scene of a sailboat out on a beautiful lake on a day when the wind is filling the sails and everything is effortless. And I tell you what, everybody wants to ride the boat, but can I say to you, the wind isn't always going to blow. The wind isn't always going to show up, and there's going to be a time when you're going to have to decide, am I going to pick up my oars and I'm going to keep rowing for the glory of Almighty God? Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, there's going to be days when you feel like it. He said, Timothy, there's going to be days when the Spirit of God is going to flood your soul and the sails are going to be filled with a wind from another shore. But Timothy, there's going to be some days when the sails hang in limp, amen. And you got to decide then what you're going to do. I don't know about you, praise God. I just determined this. If the wind ain't blowing, I'm just going to keep on rowing for the glory of Almighty God. See, anybody can ride the boat when the sails fill with wind. Anybody can run in the church when everything's going well. Anybody can get on board the boat when, man, it's easy and there's no effort to it. But let me tell you something, it's going to take some people in these last days that have determined in their mind whether the wind's blowing or not, they're going to stay in their place. They're going to grab their oars and they're going to keep rowing for the glory of Almighty God. See, I hear these preachers, and I know Brother Maccabee and Brother Phillips both could tell me stories of days gone by, even in camp meetings like this, where people would be standing on the outsides of the tabernacles. I hear the stories of Brother Billy Kelly and some of those men, and how the crowds would come and hundreds would get saved and Brother Oliver be green. But you know what? I'm not living in that day now. I'm living in a difficult day. I'm living in a day where we're not seeing the crowds overflow. I'm living in a day where we're not seeing hundreds fill the altars. Every now and then, if you see one come to the altar and get saved, it's shouting grounds. But let me tell you something right now, just because the wind
wind ain't blowing like it did in those days. Praise God. I've determined in my heart, God's looking for a last day's rowing crew. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. I just want to be faithful to do God's will. Amen. Everybody wants to ride the boat when the wind's in the sail. But you let the sail go limp one Sunday at your church. See how many, you know, there's a lot of boat jumpers. When the sail goes limp, they get to looking for another boat that has got some wind in the sail. Amen. I'm telling you one thing right now. Let me tell you something right now. In these last days, I believe it pleases the heart of God to see. You say, preacher, hey, we ain't seen a lot happening. There's a lot of times it's difficult, and there's a lot of things that's discouraging. But I'll tell you what pleases the heart of God. It's when he looks and sees his people being faithful to the things of God. When you're not seeing a lot happen, amen, you just grabbing your oars every Sunday morning, and by the help of God saying, hallelujah, I'm going to stay in the I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm going to keep rowing for the glory of Almighty God. See, ain't nobody interested in rowing nowadays. You know why? Because if you're going to row, you got to be committed to a spot. You ever seen the Olympics? They always have those. In the Olympic events, they've got those long boats of teams of men that row in the Olympics. And them big old long boats, man, they'll be full. Them fellas ain't Baptist. How do you know, preacher? Because I ain't never seen one of them with an empty seat in it. They always in their spot. If there's Baptists, it'd come time to row them. They'd say, where's old George today? Well, that fish was a-biting. Well, where's Fred? Well, they're having a family reunion, didn't you hear? Yeah. Where's old Bill? Well, the flea markets are going on, and you know what? He really likes it. He really likes that awful good. And you know one day, let me tell you something right now. If you're going to row, you got a place in the boat. Amen. Every Sunday you ought to. Listen, if you're not providentially hindered, if you're not sick in body, you ought to be in your place every Sunday. Praise God. Hey, when the wind blows, just shout about it. But when it ain't blowing, amen, grab your oars. Help your preacher. Amen. Stay in the boat and keep rowing for the glory of Almighty God. You got to. If you're going to row, you got to have. Got to have commitment to a spot in your place. Amen. I like that. I got another idea down there at Dollywood. You can get some of the best preaching down there at Dollywood you've ever seen in your life. Some of these preachers lay up in their study for 2 or 3 days trying to get a word from God, and I just go to Dollywood and it falls on me. I can't explain it, man. I was down there that day, and you know, Dolly can't be at Dollywood all the time. But a lot of people want to see her, and they like to get their picture took with her. Well, they got a big old thing up there at the top of the hill. It's a life-size cutout of Dolly Parton. And you can walk up beside of it, put your arm around it, get your picture took, and it looks like you're standing there with Dolly Parton. I thought, man, we ought to do a church directory like that. Get life-size cutouts of all of our members so that when they ain't there, we can just set it in the pew. At least the preacher won't be discouraged when he preaches. You say, but preacher, it won't say amen. Well, it won't be no difference because they ain't doing it no way. But a cardboard cutout can't tithe. They ain't doing it no way, amen. I say hallelujah, praise God, thank God for people that find their place, their commitment to a spot, amen. If you're going to row, you got to be committed to a spot. Number two, you got to have cooperation in the boat if you're going to row. Them fellas in the Olympics, have you ever seen them row? They're not Baptist. You know, I'll tell you why. Because every time I've seen them rowing, they're all hitting the same lick. I mean, they're all in unison. They're all unified. They're all going in the same direction. If there's Baptists, it'd be one of them fellas turn one way of rowing, and the other say, you know, I don't like the way he's rowing. I'm going this way. And they'd be going in circles. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. If there's ever been a day that God's people need to get together unified, I'm talking about, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. The devil's done his best to divide us. Amen. He's tried to divide us and conquer us, but thank God for some that's grabbing their oars and said, by the help of God, we're pulling together. By the help of God, we're staying in God's will and going to do God's will for our life. A lot of folks don't want to row because you got to have some cooperation in the boat if you're going to row. Number three, you got to listen to the command of the captain if you're going to row. You ever seen them fellas rowing? There's a bunch of them rowing, and then there's one fella standing up in the front of the boat with a big bullhorn going, stroke, stroke, stroke. That's what your preacher does on Sunday morning. He gets up trying to get you to pick your oars up and trying to get you to pull together. Amen. I got news for you right now. You'd be amazed what God could do in your church if everybody get together, start following what the man of God says to do. Amen. You'd be amazed what God might do in your place. Wind ain't blowing. Just keep on rowing. I got to thinking about that. You know, sometimes, of course, when the Spirit moves, the Bible, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said the Spirit came as the sound of a rushing mighty wind. I love it when the Spirit fills the house of God. I love it when it rushes through. I love it when it stirs the hearts of your people. But let me tell you something right now. You know as well as I do, there's a lot of Sundays you go in and the wind ain't blowing. There's a lot of Sundays you go in and the choir can't carry a tune and the Sunday school teacher ain't prepared. And let me tell you something. Sometimes it's just a struggle to get through the service. But I'll tell you what God's looking for. He's looking for somebody that says, hallelujah, we didn't come to be perfect today, but we did come to be faithful, amen, and we're going to do God's will in our lives, amen. A lot of people like the wind to blow because it gives them the idea of favor with God. Now, I know when God breathes on us, boy, it sure is a blessing, but can you tell me that the only time God really likes you is when he sends the Spirit of God in a mighty way on your life? I got news for you. Some of the greatest moments of your Christian experience is going to be found when the wind ain't blowing. Anybody can shout when the bills are all paid. Anybody can shout when nobody's sick. Anybody can shout when you got a good job and they've not give you a layoff slip. But I'll tell you one thing right now. God's looking for some people that when the bottom falls out of everything, when it seems like the dark clouds roll in and they won't leave, God's looking for some people that said, by the help of God, I'm sticking with Jesus. Amen. I'm staying in the boat. Amen. I'm picking up my oars and I'm rowing for God. I was reading over there in the book of Job. Everybody knows the story of Job, how that he lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost everything. They came with the news one right after the other. Job, it's bad. Job, it's bad. Job, it's bad. And in Job chapter 1, verse number 20, the Bible said Job did this after they come and told him his children was dead. The Bible said Job arose. He rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground and worshiped. You can't, I tell you one thing right now. Anybody could row, anybody can jump in the boat when you got the cattle and the camels and all your children's well. But Job knew this, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, thank God for some Christians that when things are not going well, they just say, by the help of God, I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm going to grab my oars. I'm going to be faithful to the things of God. We like to get involved in the work of God when the wind's blowing. You know, old William Carey, the preacher that surrendered to go to India from England, they said that William Carey went to India, and said he went there and he spent a year there and didn't see anybody saved. William Carey spent 2 years in India and still hadn't seen the first person saved. 3 years passed and nobody had come to Christ in William Carey's life. Now I'm talking about, I don't know how you gauge things, but in this day, the way it works with me, if I'd have been there 6 months and hadn't seen something happen, I'd have been saying, man, was that God's will? And William Carey labored 4 years, nobody saved. 5 years passed and nobody saved. 6 years passed and nobody saved. Finally, in the 7th year that William Carey labored in India, he saw his first convert in India. I got news for you. You know why William Carey did that? He understood this. He said, you know what? If the wind ain't blowing, I'll just pick up my oars and I'll keep on rowing, because if I do that, God's sooner or later going to send a wind and God's going to do something that I can't do for myself. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Praise God. But I'm glad. Praise God. I've got his favor. Whether the wind's blowing or whether it isn't, amen, I'm glad I've got the favor of Almighty God. Some of the greatest things that's ever happened in my Christian life have happened in the valley when I thought I was going to die. I looked back on it and I said, Lord, how am I going to make it out of this trial? And God ended up turning it into the greatest blessing I ever had in my life. And you know why he did that? Because I didn't throw up my hands and say, I'm through. Just because the sail's hanging limp, God, I'm done. No, I said, by the help of God. I told y'all last night about that little old song I wrote 26 years ago. The day I wrote that song, I was so discouraged. I was so defeated. I was in the deepest valley I'd ever been in as a Christian. And the enemy came, the old accuser came, and he said, you know what, you ought to be ashamed of this, and you ought to be ashamed of that, and you ought to be... And I said, you're right, devil, but I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. And God birthed a song out of that experience. And let me tell you something, the day I wrote that song, the wind wasn't blowing. The day I wrote that song, I didn't even think nothing of it. But let me tell you something right now, you just stay faithful. That day, I didn't let the devil do all the talking, amen. I said, you know what, the wind ain't a blowing, but I'm grabbing my oars, devil. Whether you like it or not, I'm staying faithful. I'm going to do God's will, and hallelujah, if you'll do that, God will send the wind in your life, amen. Oh, yeah. It gives us the idea of favor. I tell you why we like the wind to blow. It affects our feelings. We're the feeling generation. Make me feel good, preacher. If you don't, I'll go somewhere where they will. This is the happy, clappy generation. We got to have some kind of praise and worship outfit to get us going. Amen. We got to have smokes and mirrors and drums and lights. We got to have all that, man. Make us feel good. I got news for you, praise God. You read that blessed old book right there, you won't find nothing about walking by your feelings. Matter of fact, the Christian experience is a walk of faith. I like it when you feel good. I like to go to church and feel good. I like getting a good service, man. People get happy. Matter of fact, up at the church, and I've tried to encourage old-fashioned worship, like you said, preacher. It don't bother me or make me nervous when folks shout. Matter of fact, it makes me nervous if nobody don't every now and then. But I'll tell you one thing right now. You can't go by feelings. Up there at home, we got kind of labeled. Matter of fact, they tried to ridicule us, and You know how they are. If you try to have any life at all in these days, one of our ladies had went over to a place and she was over there and this talking about churches, different thing. And some of them asked her, said, "Where do you go to church?" And she said, "Oh, I go to Dyson Grove Baptist Church." And this woman, she went to one of the frozen chosen churches, and she kind of turned her nose up and she said, "Oh, you go to that happy church." She thought she was insulting that lady that goes to my church, when in all actuality, she gave her one of the greatest compliments she could give her. She said, "You go to that happy church." I said, "I will gladly wear the banner of a happy church, because I preach all over the country, and I've been in some churches where they ain't been happy in the last 50 years. So I'll take happy any day of the week, amen." I remember I had been, we're just a country church. Brother Phillips, he's been there. We're just out by the creek there. As a matter of fact, we walked straight out of our church and baptized in the creek. I baptized 5 people before I left Sunday up there after homecoming in the creek. We had a state record Tennessee black bear shot right behind our church. And matter of fact, we got pictures of a black bear in our baptizing hole. Some of them fellas come and said, "How could we get rid of that bear out there, preacher?" I said, "Let's catch him and baptize him. He'll never come back." So Some of y'all had that bear at your church too, didn't you? Amen. I said, just catch him and baptize him. He'll never be back then. And I had been out that day, and at that time our church was just a little piece of property. We didn't even hardly have enough to park the people that was coming. The field behind our church, 40-some acres, we didn't own it at that time. Some people from Florida owned it. It was all grown up. Even out where we baptized wasn't our property, but we was able to go out there and use it. But it's a good, where we baptized, it's a good fishing hole out there as well. And people would come down there in our parking lot, and they'd park and go out there, fish, and every now and then the old boys would be out there. And there was an old boy started coming down there one day. My wife had, I'd been out visiting one day, and I came back in from visiting. My wife, she looked at me. She said, come in here. I need to talk to you. I don't like that when my wife says stuff like that. I need to talk to you. I mean, it's that serious tone. And then I really got nervous when she said, you need to sit down. I said, okay, what's going on? And that day down at our church along the creek bank there, they had had a crew from the prison down there, some inmates down there cutting road right away and brush and cleaning up, and it wasn't our property, but they were down there cutting down around close to the baptizing hole. There'd been an old boy that'd been come down there, and he'd been fishing out there, and some of the fellows said, preacher, should we tell him he can't go out there? I said, no, that's all right. I said, just tell old boy, invite him to church. As a matter of fact, he was a handicapped fella. I said, invite him to church, and he's an old hippie-looking fella, had an old van, and I said, and some of them boys went out and they talked to old boy and witnessed to him, gave him some tracts, invited him to come to church. And he said, well, I'll think about it. And I said, just let him fish. That'll be all right. Well, that day the prison crew was down there cutting brush along the creek bank, and one of them convicts wandered off down there close to the baptizing hole. Now, this is not our property, by the way. It's within rock-throwing distance of our church, but it's not our property. But anyway, they came back up there. One of them inmates did and looked at the officer and said, hey, officer, said, you might want to come down here and take a look at this. He said, what do you mean? He said, come down here, see, let me show you what I found. And down there that day, that fella had been going out there to fish, but he'd been doing something else besides fishing out there. He had taken some individual flower pots out there, and he wasn't growing flowers. They had marijuana plants in them, and he had them spaced out through the woods, you know, where he thought nobody, at the last place he thought anybody would find a crop of marijuana growing was right next to a Baptist church. I mean, he didn't have a big crop, it's just three or four plants, but they found them and they said, you know, we're going to have to call this in. And so they had to call it into the sheriff's department. It came across the scanner. My wife told me, said, you need to sit down. Came across the scanner. Said they sent an officer, said they've been a marijuana find at Dyson Grove Baptist Church. Now, they didn't tell me about stuff like this in my ordination. They sure did not do that. And I tell you what, I was already panicking, and then it hit me. And we're already known as the Happy Church. I mean, man, you're in a mess. If they already got the line out on you that you're the happy church, and then they find marijuana growing next to your church. I got to thinking, I said, dear Lord, every redneck in this county's got a scanner, and they've heard it. I said, it'll be the awfulest looking crowd Sunday at the church you've ever seen. It'll look like a Grateful Dead concert there at the church Sunday morning. And I got to thinking, I said, you know what? But if they'd come, that'd be good. I'd tell them about Jesus. It'll save them. One preacher friend of mine, he was joking with me. He's from Ohio, and he came down there to preach. He said, preacher, down to your church. He said, when you get up to preach, he said, you just say, open your Bibles to. I'll just open them anywhere. It's all good. I have seen some Baptists that need loosening up so bad, if I thought it'd help them, I'd roll them up one, Brother Phillips. Amen. I'm talking about feelings, amen. You're not always going to feel good. There's going to be days when you go to church and you feel good. Everything flows smoothly, but there's going to be days when you don't feel good. I tell you what you ought to do in those times, praise God, just grab your oars, stay in the boat, amen. Stay busy for God and do God's will, amen. The wind blowing gives us the idea of favor. It affects our feelings. And last of all, sometimes the wind blowing magnifies our forward progress. You know, it's amazing how much you feel like you're getting done when God's really blowing the breeze over what you're doing. And you are getting stuff done. I'm thankful for that. I mean, it's when you get up to preaching, man, God just pours out His Spirit on you. Man, you feel like, praise God, you feel like you're Billy Sunday preaching. And then there's some Sundays you get up, praise God, and the Spirit of God ain't there, and you feel like Joyce Myers, praise God. God help us. God help us. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all said, I ain't never felt that bad. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you one thing right now. But it's amazing how. I'm going to have to get that joke back, praise God. It's amazing how you see that fellow out there in a sailboat, and he's just effortless. He's just gliding along. He's going to reach his destination. But do you know that if you look out there in that little fella that's in the boat and he's got his oars in his hand, if he stays faithful, he's going to end up at his destination as well. Sometimes when things are going well, we get an overinflated idea of somehow or another we're really doing it. And then sometimes when the wind ain't blowing, it's like we're a failure. I got news for you. I read a story one time about a fella, and they told this story, said the Lord spoke to a fella, and there was a big boulder in the middle of the road on his journey. He said the Lord spoke to him, said, I want you to push on that rock. So this fellow began pushing on it, trying to move it out of the way, and it was so big he couldn't move it. But every day he'd get up and he'd push on it. Every day he'd get up and he'd struggle against it. And every day, but he never did move it one inch. And finally, they said in the story, this fellow said he just prayed to God and told him, said, God, I feel like the biggest failure. You told me to push that rock out of the way, and I've not moved it one inch in all these days of struggle against it. And then the Lord spoke and said, no, I didn't tell you to push it out of the way. I just told you to push on it. See, the struggle that you've been engaged in has caused you to become strong now. If you look at yourself now, between now and when you started, you're much stronger now. And that obstacle that's in your way, you don't have to move it. You've got the power to get over it. Hallelujah. Some of y'all say, boy, I get tired of rowing. Just keep them oars in your hand because it's going to make you strong enough one of these days to get over that obstacle you're going to face. Praise God. Hallelujah to His name. I remember this has been many years ago now. My son, he's 24 years old now. Him and his wife just had our first grandchild, little 6 months old, little baby boy. And when my son, I've drugged my young'uns all over the country. I'm like Brother Phillips. His family grew up singing. Me and my wife, that's how we met. Her and her daddy was singing at a little country church out in the middle of nowhere on a Saturday night. Me and my dad and my sister was there singing. We met and we've been together. And God give us two children, our son and our daughter. And they both sing with us. They've traveled all their lives. And now that they're adults, they still travel and sing with us when they're able to do it. And I remember, though, I'd been in a string of meetings about 6 or 7 weeks straight of revival meeting. And I'll be honest with you, I was exhausted, worn out, exhausted physically, exhausted mentally. I just felt like I didn't have nothing. And I'm a pastor now, by the way. So it was Sunday, and I'd done preached that morning at the church, but I was trying to get a thought together that evening to go for Sunday night. That morning, Ryan, my son at that time, our son was about 8 years old. And at Sunday morning service, he had one of the little buddies at church. He wanted to go home with him that day. But it wasn't a good day. And you know how daddies are. Daddies has to say no sometimes. Well, that day I told that little 8-year-old boy of mine, I said, no, it's not a good day. You can't do it today. Well, he got mad at me. He got mad at his daddy. Now, I know y'all are real spiritual and your family has never done anything like that. I understand that. I understand that your children never get upset with you and what you tell them. But anyway, he got upset at me that day, and he didn't even want to talk to me. He didn't want to be around me. I mean, all evening at the house. He'd pass me in the house. He'd turn his head, wouldn't look at me, and he'd love on his mom and tell her how much he thought of her, but he didn't even want to talk to his daddy because I'd given him the answer he didn't want to hear. I was already empty, and I was feeling beat down about 6 weeks straight of revival, and I couldn't even get a thought to preach on. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I needed a trip to Dollywood's what I needed, praise God. I couldn't find nothing to preach on. And I finally got so frustrated. I was waiting on my wife and daughter to get ready that night. And I said, I'm going to go out. My van was parked in front of the house. So I'm going to go out and sit in the car and wait on them. I said, I ain't got nothing to preach. I don't know why I'm in such a hurry to get there, but I ain't got nothing to preach. And I went and sat down in the van. I was sitting there, and I felt about as low. I mean, here I am. People say, well, how can that happen, preacher? You out of preaching all over the country and trying to help people. Yeah, and you give out, and you give out, and you give out, and you give out, and finally you give out. And I was at that point. And I was sitting there, and I was sitting there just feeling so... I said, I can't help nobody. And all of a sudden, when I slammed the door in the car and sat down there, my little boy, he heard the car door slam, and he thought we were leaving for church. So he come bounding out of the house. I saw him out the corner of my eye, and as he bounded out the house, starting to reach to get in the car, he looked, and I'm the only one in the car, and he wasn't about to get in the car with me by himself because he wasn't talking to me. He turned around, and he walked that day. He stuck his hands in his pocket, 8 years old now. Stuck his hands in his pocket, and he just started walking out through there, looking up through the toward the sky. And I was watching him. I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and I'm watching him in the side mirror on my car. And as I was watching him, it's like the devil crawled in the passenger seat. And he said, don't you look at that boy right there. You've drug them young'uns all over the country. You've took them to churches that even the members didn't want to go to at them churches. And you took them young'uns there. And here, big boy, you've been out preaching, trying to help somebody, and you can't even help yourself. And I sat there that day, and I looked at that little boy, and he seemed like he was a million miles away to me. And I sat there, and the tears started streaming down my face, and I began to ask God. I said, God, I need you to help me. I said, I feel like I'm so empty and so weak, I can't even... I said, how can I help anybody tonight at church? I can't. I said, look at my little boy, God. He don't even want to talk to me as his daddy. I said, he looks like he's a million miles away. And then all of a sudden, something happened that if God had a spoke to me audibly, and he don't, by the way, but if he had of, it wouldn't have been any more clear. As I looked at that little boy, and he seemed so far away, all of a sudden there were some words at the bottom of the mirror that caught my attention. That said, objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Whew, hallelujah. I'm talking about up until that point, the wind hadn't been blowing. Up until that point, I couldn't feel God, couldn't do. But all of a sudden, there was a glory wind of gale force came through that van. I began to praise God, and all of a sudden, that little boy of mine run up and grabbed the door open and tears streamed. He said, Daddy, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I said, I sure will, boy. Get in here. We're going to church. Amen. I don't know about you. Praise God. You may feel like you ain't getting nowhere tonight. You may feel like you're not covering any ground. Just stay faithful to God. Just grab your oars. Amen. And keep on rowing. If the wind ain't blowing, just stay in the boat and keep on rowing for the glory of Almighty God. Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. I got news for you. The wind will blow every now and then, and thank God for when it does. But boy, when it don't, just serve God faithfully. And I'm glad sooner or later he'll send a wind by your way. Let's bow our heads tonight, every head bowed, every eye.